Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm back, and I know when we shut down here of being in the garage with Nick for 4 months.
Yeah.
And you start reflecting back on those moments. It's almost like when you go, it's like New Year's Eve all of a sudden, when SportsCenter had all the top plays from 2020. We're going to be doing that in March at some point.
Oh, I'm sure.
Think about where we went, because I remember that night, remember when Coach Hoiberg was sick under the weather, all the thoughts were like, oh boy. And then the shutdown happened.
Yeah.
We were there. So I just wanted to ask you, because it's been unique for a lot of, for everyone.
I will tell you this. The day before the Boys State Tournament a year ago, the city of Lincoln, the NSAA, they all, and LPS, they all got together and said, we're going to proceed with the Boys Tournament as planned. There's going to be limitations on who can be in the facilities. And I thought that was probably the best move they could make. Now, was it a weird experience going down there the first day of the tournament to Pinnacle Bank Arena and essentially playing to an empty house? You bet.
Oh, gosh.
But in essence, what the NSAA was trying to do was to get through the weekend, get the tournament done, and then go into shutdown. Okay, so you have a clean stop, and then you put everything into shutdown mode until, what, the middle part of April. Then it got pushed back to May 1st. And then it got pushed back to June 1st. Essentially, you had no spring sports, no baseball, no track, no soccer, no golf or tennis, none of that. So a lot of kids that would have played those sports or probably just played those sports altogether, especially if they were seniors, didn't get to have a senior year. And that's unfortunate. But for baseball, some of those guys could still carry on and play at the Legion level, and they got to play. And it wasn't under the Legion umbrella because they were not going to have a state tournament. So everybody went on their own, did their own tournaments and stuff. Looking back on that, it's just like, man, it's been that long already. It's really flown by. And you guys doing your show from the garage at Nick's place.
Though we went through every weather element. I was just thinking about this last night. There were days I would go to Nick's garage in like snow gear because it was like 25 degrees outside.
Oh, sure.
And then it turned over and then it was 85 degrees and hot. Right. And we had, it was cool moments during that. But we had a lot of good people stop by and like drop us off stuff.
Oh, sure.
Because they knew where we were and they were just cool people. The 12 came through strong while we were out there. So,
yeah.
Well, let's jump into the fun stuff. Obviously, there were some tickets punched last night as we prepare for Tuesday coming up. Girls State basketball. And again, to remind people, different event, 5 days, right?
Yes, it's a 5-day event, and what will happen is that the games will start Tuesday morning at 9, and to kind of how to describe to people how the format's going to work, it's going to be like this. Okay, Class A is going to play their entire first round on Tuesday, starting at 1:30.
Start and go.
So they'll go 1:34, 6:15, 8:30. Class B will start part of their tournament 9 o'clock and 11:15 Tuesday morning. The other half will resume the next day. So there's a kind of a crossover because we go from classes B to C1 that will play all day at PBA on Wednesday the 3rd.
Wednesday. Okay.
Now classes C2 through D2, they'll play at either Southeast, Southwest, or North Star Wednesday all day to get their quarterfinal games out of the way. Thursday, everybody's back at PBA for C2 through D2. And then Friday, the semifinals will go for classes A through C1, and then championship Saturday and the third-place games. Third-place games will be at Northeast, and then, of course, championship Saturday will be all day at PBA. So it's a unique format, considering, you know, we're in times of COVID and very few places are available. The Devaney Center was not going to be available. I think because mainly of volleyball and so they want to limit the access in there too,
sure,
as well. So it worked out to where we could have at least everybody play at least one round or more of basketball at PBA over a five-day stretch, with the exception of playing the lower classes playing at the high schools the first day of their bracket. So that's how it's going to be for the girls this week. The following week, same thing for the boys. I know we're going to be doing a lot of our games from PBA. The only other time I think we would have to go off-site is for the boys if Parkview Christian wins their district final. So we'll see if that happens, and if so, we'll cover them. But we're primarily going to be down at PBA, and we're looking forward to it. I'm excited for it because this girls' tournament, I think, is going to be really exciting because Pius is back in.
Punched it last night, right?
Won their district title. They're undefeated. They're on a roll. Alexis Markowski had 28 points and 21 rebounds in her final game at Pius.
Going out strong.
Yeah. And so 67-41 winner last night. So they're back in. They're likely going to be the top seed. We did the Lincoln Southwest Norfolk game here on ESPN last night, and it was essentially after the second quarter, midway through the second quarter, it was done. Mm-hmm. And Southwest ran away with that with a 58-35 win. And so Southwest, probably looking at the point standings, I think they're going to be the fourth seed. So when we start the Class A tournament next Tuesday at 1:30, we'll have that game here on ESPN plus the 4 o'clock game, likely with Southwest. And then East, I'll have to double-check and see where they may fall. They may play at night. We'll have that on KFOR. And then next Tuesday as well, the 9 o'clock game we'll have with Norris in Class B. So that's kind of the structure of things on how we're going to be covering games. And then C1 will pick up on Wednesday. And it all depends on what happens tonight with the two games that we're covering. So if Malcolm and or Lincoln Lutheran get in, we'll be covering them on Wednesday
as well. So, and did you say that once it's done tonight, Saturday morning is when brackets and seedings all come out, correct?
Tomorrow morning they will come out. And so what we will do is once the brackets are released, we will post them on our webpage here at ESPNLincoln.com, also at KFORnow.com. We will put out a schedule of the games that we're going to be covering, what stations are going to carry them, and that way people can kind of follow along to see where they can listen into it, and we'll have it on the web stream too. So once we get those pairings put out, we'll have a general idea of what we're going to be covering. I think we have a sneaking suspicion on how Class A is going to look. We know what B is probably going to look like too, because you go 1A, 2, 7, 3, 6, 4, 5, that's how you pair it up. And it's all along how they are seated in terms of their point standing. So whatever the point standing is for that team, once we get into the state tournament time, that's how they're going to be put in.
That's awesome. So be looking for that Saturday morning at ESPNLincoln.com, KFORnow.com for those pairings and seedings come out. Catch us up on the boys because they're still vying in districts and all that, right?
Right. Boys districts for Class A begin tomorrow.
Perfect.
And this will be interesting to see because right now we have a very good chance of having at least one Lincoln team in Class A in. The Pius District, which is, I believe, A4, if I'm not mistaken, Willie J.
For girls?
For boys.
For boys. I got it right here on the web page. It is...
I don't have a monitor in front of me.
Yeah, sorry. Let me get back to you in one second.
Well, anyway, Pius does host a district, and the other half of that bracket is East and Southeast, so the likelihood of a Pius district final with one of those two teams is inevitable, meaning that we're probably going to have
A4.
A Lincoln team. Is it A4?
Yep.
Okay. So if Pius wins tomorrow against, I believe it's Omaha South.
That's right.
If they beat Omaha South, they're in Monday night. I think we're guaranteed to have a Lincoln team in Class A. And then East Southeast will be playing tomorrow afternoon. We'll have that game here on ESPN Lincoln starting at 2:50. And then we'll have the Northeast Millard South game over on KFOR at 5:20 tomorrow. Chances are that if Northeast wins tomorrow night, we will follow their game Monday at Papillion La Vista, assuming Papillion La Vista wins. And we'll follow that game, probably have that here on ESPN, and the Pius game would be over on KFOR. So we're going to be following those two particular districts simply because when you look at Pius right now and how they've been playing, that's a team that we've covered a lot this year. And then you look at Northeast record, they're in some polls are ranked 10th. Some polls have them as contenders. Right now they stand as the next best team in Lincoln that could get into the state tournament, but essentially they have to win out to get in unless the wild card picture just simply is a toss-up after tomorrow. So right now, that's who we're following. Obviously, we'll have East and Southeast tomorrow, but after that, we're going to be following probably with the assumption that Northeast wins tomorrow, and same thing with Pius, and of course, East or Southeast. We'll be following those two teams in particular, and then we'll see where they go from there. Norris and Waverly boys play their district championships tomorrow. So Norris will play, I'm trying to remember, Elkhorn North, I believe, is who they play tomorrow. And then Waverly will host Scott's Bluff. That's a rematch of a district final a year ago that Waverly almost won. They had to go all the way to Scott's Bluff. So Scott's Bluff's got to come out to this direction now. So that's another big district, and we'll be watching that very closely, too, because there's a good chance that both those teams could get into the state tournament as well. And then Lincoln Christian got beat last night by Milford, and Milford's really good. They're undefeated. And the other team that we're going to be watching from town would be Parkview Christian. Mm-hmm. So we'll be watching.
Moats, it's clear, you know, Pius girls are the best team in this in Lincoln, you know, if not Class A. Who's the team that you think has a shot at taking that title from them?
Well, there's a few others, and I'm going to tell you, last night, Southwest looked superb. And I believe the last loss that Southwest suffered was at the hands of Pius. And Southwest has now won 15 straight games.
Wow.
And they're playing really well. Their defense was stifling against Millard West on Tuesday night. It was stifling against Norfolk last night. This team's on a mission. If not Southwest, I would not count out Millard South. They seem like they're the next one in line that could definitely be in the mold for winning a state tournament. Fremont's another team I think it's really good. I've seen them once or twice this year. After that, it's Central or Millard North and maybe Lincoln East. Lincoln East has been scrappy as of late.
And they're back in it,
and they played really well in their district. So I think this will make for a fun girls tournament in Class A. I just think right now, the way Pius has been playing all season long, I mean, they are the Goliath in the girls' race in Class A. It's going to be tough for a lot of teams to try to contain Alexis Markowski. She's just a great post player. She's got good footwork. She's just very good close to the basket. And give her a lot of credit. Jillian Ashoff is a good guard for them. Miriam Miller's a good three-point shooter. They got good contribution that comes in and helps off the bench as well. Ryan Posota does a great job. And I think right now, this Pius team coming into Tuesday is very untouchable, but anything's possible at the state tournament. And it's happened before on the boys' side where you get a team that's red hot and then everything just folds in the opening round.
Yeah, hey, Moats, real quick. You know, when people listen to our broadcast, they hear us mention the Sportscasters Club all the time. Mm-hmm. Could you just make it clear for our listeners who and what the Sportscasters Club does for our stations?
To kind of give you a background, the Sportscasters Club actually originated on KFOR, and it's been around since the early to mid-1950s. And that's the second longest promotion that we've had on KFOR. And now the Sportscasters Club used to be the Booster Club here on ESPN, but now we've dedicated the Sportscasters Club to include ESPN as well. And it's local businesses or some major businesses in town that do provide some sponsorship toward our program to carry the games. And then at the end of, toward the end of the school year, we do award scholarships that are approximately $350 that will go to one student athlete from nine schools in town. And that, you know, probably will help them out a little bit, but it's just it's a sign of appreciation for what they are able to do, not just on the court, not just on the field, but what they do in the classroom, what they do in the community. There's a lot of things that go into place that, you know, where we decide who gets these scholarships. There's a vote that takes place amongst the members of the Sportscasters Club. If there's a tie, then we come down and we decide the tiebreaker, who, you know, we vote on who would receive that particular scholarship. But we've been doing the scholarship portion of that since 1972.
Jeez.
So
wow.
There have been
awesome.
A lot of student athletes that have received scholarships. And again, they're not full rides. They're just
nope. they're, some partial
they're
stuff.
They're
some
partial
help.
Stuff that, you know, that would go toward their education. It's nothing athletic at all. It's just toward their education. And something that Lincoln Public Schools, Pius X, Lincoln Christian, Lincoln Lutheran, of course, that have been here longer in the community that have really been supportive of for a number of years. And we usually do a banquet every year. Last year we didn't do it because of COVID. We're not doing it again this year because of COVID. So everything's going to be virtual this year. And we hope to maybe next year resume. Get back on track at least. So, but it's something that I think has been worthwhile as a promotion in our building for a number of years, and it's also been part of the fabric of the sports community in Lincoln for a very long time.
Now, Motsi, obviously there's the elephant in the room, and it's capacity, the number of fans that might be allowed. I don't think we know much there, but I did just go out and look on Twitter and on the website, nsaahome.org.
Yeah.
There is a ticket policy out there.
There is.
Right now. Posted yesterday, February 25th. So if you want to go look at it, you can look them up on Twitter at nsaahome or nsaahome.org. And it's interesting. We won't go through it all, but it does no paper tickets this year.
Yeah.
It'll be all mobile. There's a page that they'll post links out there, by the way, once they're all set and final. It's a GoFan something out there for that. But it does. It talks about in there's about the way the tickets are used to. Some of them are single games. Some of them are double or two games. It does talk in here that they'll, at like at PBA on Championship Saturday, they'll clear the arena after each second game. After two games, they'll clear it. But it brings up that point. Now you can buy, like, you'll be able to get tickets. And they do stay on here. A lot of the tickets first will be released to the schools.
Yes.
To do that, to get those schools, get those parents and stuff in. And then they'll go out to the public. But we don't know what the number is.
We probably won't know right away. We hope maybe later today or at the latest tomorrow we get an idea. I know the DHM here in Lincoln.
It's kind of vague in those something because you and I were just reading it.
What was it, 75%
of gatherings, and then over 500, I think you got to get some approval through the city and
yeah.
stuff like
and
that.
And I think the NSAA has been working with the health department in the city to get that straightened out.
Because you got
to
figure out the so now the school sites will be based on the current way it's going.
Right.
With six participants per some
per
students.
Player,
some
per
students.
Player, yeah.
That will still apply at the high school sites.
Yeah.
Okay. PBA is the one. It did say also updated this year, only at PBA only, they will offer an all-day pass, good for multiple entry on a single day.
That's nice. And I know there's a lot of people that over the years have gone down to tournaments just to watch and, you know, get a full day of basketball under their belt to get into the March mayhem or madness or whatever you want to call it. And I think now it's more restrictive, obviously, because the general public, not everybody's going to be able to get in.
No.
It's only going to be a certain allotment, at least at this point. So,
and I think if you're planning on going, if you're in Lincoln, it says within here, and again, it's on nsaahome.org if you want to look at this.
Yeah.
If you're planning on trying to go from the GP, the general public out there here in Lincoln, it will ask you that there's a GoFan app on the links okay. in the schedules will all be posted on a GoFan app. Once those tickets are out there, there'll be a link that you can go on and you'll be scanning in mobily or the yeah. email that you might get.
Yeah.
So encouraging to see that there's going to be fans. Again, just don't know the number. I'm sure there'll be something. I mean, it's going to be pretty quick.
Well, it's going to be, I think the other thing too is they're going to try to space everybody out as much as possible
yeah.
too. So really quick, the games that we have on tonight, we want to tell folks here on ESPN Lincoln, 6:50 airtime tonight, we'll have the Malcolm Winnebago C1 District 1 Championship. Will's going to be out there for that tonight. And then I'll be over on KFOR tonight, 7:20 airtime. I'll be out in Aurora.
Oh, baby.
As Lincoln Lutheran plays Gothenburg for the C1 District 3 Championship in girls basketball. So that's who we're kind of waiting to see who's going to complete the Lincoln teams that could get into the state tournament. Down to Malcolm and down to Lincoln Lutheran. We got Norris that's already in. You got Pius, Southwest, and East that are in. So we will definitely have a full fill of basketball here as we get into next Tuesday and Wednesday down at PBA.
And by the way, tune in next week because there aren't many out there that will be having it. These guys will be on it.
Well, between us here on ESPN and Lincoln and KFOR.
There's your girls basketball central.
We got
those two right there.
We got it.
You heard me right there. That's your central place to be for girls state basketball being brought to your living room.
We'll do the best we can, too.
There you go. Motsi, you are the man. Appreciate you every day on a Friday like we always have you. So let's take a break. We come back. I want to talk about fans more and what is happening in the ACC right now, and it's still not happening in the Big Ten. I want to talk about that.